Well, I want to welcome everyone that is here tonight. I want to welcome those that are listening over the web or through Vimeo or wherever else we're logged on to. And I'm here with Pastor Kurt to my right and Pastor Tim to my left.
You can call me Tim, Sam, doesn't matter.
We were just talking about... And don't mind us, we're getting a little
drunk up here.
Yeah, by the old Holy Ghost, they say. But we've been we're reaching into the year 2018, and the words that we speak here in GTTN is always that Rhema word from the Lord. We just truly believe He's living and it's alive, and He moves upon our spirit. Back in the day, they would say to the prophets. Today, we just take it as to His believers, and we receive His word, and we try to be obedient as best as possible. And for 2018, He has led us to this point of building a house and starting to prepare for His presence, yeah. A habitation of His presence. And we came out of 2017 with a verse that was sparked this message, I guess you could say, these series of messages.
How about this move?
This movement, yeah.
It's really a movement out here. You know, what's going on?
Because of the sincerity of the time that we're living in. And the verse is, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." I was speaking at it. Forget where exactly is that verse. It's in Matthew. Yeah. But we'll bring it up next week, this Sunday. If you can log on, you'll hear where it's coming from. But at the same time, you know, they went up to a point of judgment, and they thought they had a relationship with God. And they turned and said, "But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We prophesied in your name. We delivered, you know, demons in your name. We did, you know, we fed the poor," whatever it was.
All kinds of stuff.
And He says, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And that worker of iniquity is, we've come to the place where it's living in the soul or living in wickedness. Yep. And we're going to bring out in 2018, this year, of the supernatural, the understanding of the wickedness and what is the wickedness and the powers and the principalities in high places. And this is all interacting to where we're at now as far as the heart of God for His people. And what He is basically trying to say is that truly, His desire is not for anyone to suffer, perish, or be destroyed. And there has been deception going on for many years, leading His sheep astray. Yeah. And the power of the principalities are moving rampant in the form of wickedness, which is manifesting through the soul, who has the authority to drag us to hell. And we need to understand this supernatural manifestation that we are operating in. And, you know, I believe God is saying it's time for His people to be aware of the truth so that we're not caught to a point where we think we have a relationship with God.
Where we're duped.
Yeah, and we get up there, and He says, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you."
You know, with this word that we're speaking, it's out of a reverence, fear of God. You know, we totally respect God and love God with all of our heart, minds, and strength, and spirit. And this is far from religion. If anybody that's listening knows Pastor Kurt, Pastor Jim, Pastor Tim and Sam, you know we're not in religion.
No, far from religion.
Far from religion. So this is basically coming from a reverence, fear of God, and from the heart. Because we want to see people come into the right standing, right relationship with God and not be duped. So you're not shocked when you leave this earth and you go before God. You're not shocked and saying, well, wait a minute, I thought I had this relationship with you. What's going on here? You know, that's what's going to happen when you're caught up in religion and you're following all these traditions and all these different things that are going on in religion. You're going to stand before God and you're going to have like an awe of saying, what happened? Why did I get to this point and now I'm being rejected? Mm-hmm. We don't want to see anybody rejected. We want to see you basically embraced by God. And the embracing starts now here on earth.
And I really, you know, truly believe it's all God's power moving through us,
yeah,
and giving us this conviction to share the urgency of bringing this message across. I don't believe that there are too many out there that have an awareness of judgment. And we were speaking about this earlier at our kitchen table. And I think God is saying, listen, we're running over to a time of an age where the last age that we lived in came under a form of like grace. A level of grace to where they got a little bit of a pass.
Yeah.
If this makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's like,
because the knowledge that was provided at that time was accepted.
Yeah.
And we read a verse previous Sunday about how God is changing it, and it was through Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul was even saying that God's grace is, he's tired of the old standard that was set,
mm-hmm,
in the knowledge of having a relationship with him. This is where God wants everybody now.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I don't think, you know, as ages change and time has changed, I believe there's a more of a sincerity and a I want to say stringent point where there's more evil being poured out, so that means that there has to be more of a holiness of a responsibility.
Yeah.
Like a greater responsibility of holiness, mm-hmm, to get past this judgment. It's almost like 5 years ago, it would be good to leave this earth. But if you pass that threshold and you're still living, woe to you.
Right, right.
Woe to you. It's almost like when in scripture it says, like when that time comes, woe to the woman and child.
Who could suck at that time.
Yeah. And
don't give birth to children and all that stuff.
It's, mm-hmm, kind of like you got a 6-year-old child, right? And at that time, it's okay that they do act a certain way. Then as they get older, now they're 18, it's like, no, you can't act that same way as a 6-year-old. It's the same thing in this relationship with God. It's like he's saying, okay, 5 years ago, I allowed you to live a certain way, you know, you had a certain grace or knowledge of who I am, but now I want you to take you deeper. I'm coming closer to you. I'm deeper now.
You know what I'm sensing? I'm sensing the level of gratitude and humility versus pride. Mm. And I think
that's true.
Back so many years ago, we still had a lot of gratitude and humility. And I think the way the world is turning, we're losing our gratitude and we're losing our humility and we're manifesting more pride.
Right. Yeah.
And because we're manifesting more pride, like we're entitled and all this other stuff.
A lot of judgment.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of judgment.
And since we're operating more in that level of pride, God is saying, you know, well, then now it's, you need a more of a level of holiness to get through the gates. Mm-hmm. You need to, you know, to get through that place of judgment. And for 2018, I feel that whatever God's doing in the future, who knows? Nobody has the mind of God. But he begins to warn his people as those that are seekers of him to hear his word, to bring across God's will or his plans. And I feel that there's a time where, right now, where he's saying, you got to start preparing a place for me to dwell, because my judgment is coming, and we're going to stand before the judgment, and he's going to say, well done, faithful servant, or get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And if we're manifesting that wickedness, which is the soul, and we never really built a place for God to dwell in, then he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And we're going to say, but Lord, Lord, we did all these religious ceremonies, religious acts, works, all these works in your name.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said this. In the Old Testament, God spoke to Solomon and said, who's going to build a tabernacle for me to dwell? So instead of building it in his heart, he built a place, a building, to said, okay, God, you're going to dwell in this building. And then it changed when Jesus became the first of many. That's when Jesus started building that relationship in the heart for God to dwell. He took it out of the building, out of a place. He put it in the heart. And that was the standard that was set that started getting sabotaged, started getting kind of grayed over by religion. But now God's being more stringent and saying, no, I want to dwell with man. And it takes holiness, and it takes you getting rid of the soul. Because the soul's been around. I'm tired of dealing with the soul. Because God can't dwell with evil. He doesn't want to deal with evil.
He can't.
He can't dwell. Because he resists it, you know? Yeah. So he wants to come closer to everyone. And this is why we're speaking this, so that you can start working on this and building that tabernacle inside your heart for him to dwell there, to have that relationship.
And moving forward, it's, you know, those that call upon the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to look through the eyes of God in order to understand how he wants his house. I mean, we can't just build a house and then expect him to dwell in it. Maybe he don't like that house. You see?
That's a soul house.
So we need to understand through the eyes of God what he expects his house should be. For one, humility has to be the first foundation. The foundation of this house has to be laid on humility, and realize that magnificence and the supreme power that God is. When I look at the story of Job, when God rebuked Job, he showed him his power. And I look at that as the foundation of the house that we should be starting to lay, and having a realization of who God is and how magnificent he is and the power that he upholds and how awesome who he is. I'm trying to bring this across in some words. I mean, I know by how I feel of his magnitude, but to try to bring it across to the world is kind of difficult, because, you know, unless you can see it, unless you have the revelation of, listen, he gives and he takes away. You know,
you have to understand that we're not in control, that everything is given by him.
Yeah.
And how significant he is, and how
significant
we are.
Man, look at me fixing that.
Thank you. See? We go around.
I don't know.
We go around. And I do, I look at when you're saying, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. And I just want to bring this into an easier term, I guess I want to say. It's like almost to a fact of, there's a group of people and one wants to go feed the poor.
Right.
Okay, it's on his heart to go feed the poor. And then, why are you feeding the poor? Are you feeding the poor so you look like you can go say, hey, I just fed the poor? You know what I mean? So what is that? That's your soul, right? And then you're going to go over and you're going to make him feel guilty. Oh, you didn't come and feed the poor with me. But that's not in his heart. So God just wants us to all, it doesn't matter your works, is what we're getting at. And he doesn't want you to go and do what Joe Schmo does. He wants a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just rest.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, and know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're really basically saying is the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Is the beginning of what? Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the beginning, is knowing who God is and being so fearful of that. Not to be afraid of it, but it's a love. And it's an appreciation for who he really is.
Yep.
And if you don't have that, like you were saying, you have to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you ask for whatever, he's not going to give you garbage.
Well, you know, to make it a little bit more clear to the listeners, I feel what we're trying to bring across, and I understand 100%, we need that reverence, fear, but yet love.
Yeah, it's yes.
And to know from the beginning what actually transpired. We fell.
Mm. Yeah.
We fell. Whatever it was, we fell. And we were given a second chance.
Right.
Now, when you're given a second chance and you blow it, how's that person loves you enough to give you a second chance, and then you spit in their face and you blow it. What do you expect?
Do you expect leniency again?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you just slapped them again in the face.
Right. So to paint a picture of truly who God is, he loves us so much that he gave everyone a second chance. Not only did he give us a second chance, but he said, if you just change the way you're thinking, you repent, moving forward, and you show fruits of that repentance, I'm going to take everything that you have done wrong, and I'm going to throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. So I'm going to wash you cleansed. I'm going to cleanse you. You see, this is how awesome God is. This is how wonderful he is. But if we ignore it,
take it for granted,
then he's going to give us the hard nose, and say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So to have a clear understanding of the character of God, because I think most people think that you could just like call God whenever you want. You know, you could be in a position of living your life in the soul or in the world or in the wickedness or whatever, or in ignorance, not taking that reverence, fear of the Lord, or that knowing of the majestic being, the King. You know, we're coming before the King.
Yeah.
You know, we're coming before the Lord, you know. And take it for granted as some schmuck. You know, when in the world, we understand hierarchy, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go, let's say you're going to go see the president of the United States, or let's say you're going to go, you have an appointment with the big boss at the job, you're not going to go in there with a bad attitude and a schmucky outfit on, you know. You're going to clean yourself up, and you're going to look presentable, and you're going to face him with politeness, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to show him honor and respect. I mean, I think the book of Ruth comes to me when she had to bathe herself and get all dolled up and wear all the perfume and jewelry and everything else before she even went to go see the king to get her to kind of show the king some softness or whatever to be able to move her agenda through or whatever it was. I guess it was to save the Israel. Yeah. I don't know the story too well of Ruth. I'm just kind of going with how the Lord is revealing these things to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, moving forward in 2018, I just feel that preparing a house is going to take a little bit more than what we thought of preparing a house. I think having a disposition of humility, for one, along with how awesome God is. I mean, you're breathing because God allowed you to breathe.
Right.
You see? You're in where you're at because God chose for you to be at. No one, like, puts you in that position. He allowed it.
You didn't put yourself in that position.
Exactly right. What you have is all from God.
It can be taken away like that.
What you don't have is from God.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You see, there is nothing that goes on with your life without God commanding it or allowing it.
True.
Now, there are some believers out there that think, you know, it's fate, you know, or it's the devil, you know, the devil's stealing this and the devil's stealing that and yada, 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 and all that other stuff. Yes, he robs, steals, kills, and destroys. He's
God
always,
allows it.
It's exactly right.
He's got to go before God and ask.
That's right, because you take that verse of Job and in the very beginning. I mean, the Bible's a great book. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's a mystery book. It's a true book. It's not a story tale book. It's a true book. There is revelational knowledge in that book if you have eyes to see it. And in that book, there's a section, if you read by it too fast, you're going to miss it. It's the only place in that book where Satan had to go before God to do anything to anybody.
Right. He had to ask permission.
If you didn't read that, you missed it.
Yep.
And if you were told this, that's it. And you're always thinking that the devil's doing everything. When that is not true. God has put the stars in the heavens. He hung the planets. You know, he controls gravity. And he takes gravity away. I mean, he lets the sun rise and the moon set. And everything else. And we have taken this glorious manifestation of what we call life for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, we wake up and take that for granted. How would you like to wake up and not breathe, and before you know it, you find yourself standing before judgment? And you're going to be like, well, wait a minute, send me back so I can redo everything and fix it all. And he's going to say, nope, your time's up. I remember before in the past, people would say, oh, man, I can't wait to die, or you know, this life stinks, and, you know, I just tired of it. And I'm saying to myself, man, if you only knew the truth, you would, you know, really
change your attitude towards
life. and have that sacred time of knowing that you can clean everything up that took place out of ignorance. I want to say ignorance that happened yesterday. See, I know, listen, even in my, I'm going to just take my own life, as much as I have the reverence for the Lord and I'm walking and trying to walk in this holiness, obtaining peace and joy, separating things out of my life, obtaining things, walking on water, you know, with a level of faith to believe. I'm still searching every day. Lord, show me your will. Show me, you know, let me know you the more. I want to know him the more so that I come to that place of judgment. He just simply says, well done, faith, come on in.
Yep.
You know, life in itself is a blink. I went to Shelly, my wife, and I went like that. She was like that. I said, that was life. Okay? In God, one day is 1,000 years. That was just a blink. That was just a blink. That was your life. Based on eternity. Eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever. It's so far-fetched for the common mind. The soul doesn't want you to comprehend eternity. So it clouds your mind in the realistic knowledge of eternity. We have no concept of what we're going to do. There's all kinds of imaginations of what we're going to do. Float around, sing hymns, ooh, praise God all day long.
You know, this scripture came to my mind, and God said in scripture, he said, I desire of one thing of you. I desire obedience rather than sacrifice. And the obedience starts with humility. Because when you're obedient to something, that's a humility. That's basically saying, okay, I'm going to lay down my pride, and I'm going to listen, or I'm going to follow you. And that obedience is listening to that still small voice, that conviction that's within your heart. That's what he desires. He's not looking for a sacrifice where you're put out to do something, but there's no gratitude, there's no reverence in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're obedient to God and you're obedient to that word that's within you, there's a reverence. You know, it's like you have an honor and a respect to follow that, and to get, you know, that's giving him honor. That's what he's looking for in a relationship. It has nothing to do with sacrificing to go to church or to do this or do. It has nothing to do with sacrifice. It's just he wants obedience, and that's why we're here on earth. Are we going to be obedient again to God? Or are we going to do our own thing?
Yeah, and to get that conviction,
yep,
there's a process of decreasing.
Yeah.
If the soul was still alive, the wickedness within us, okay, and that foundation isn't really built for his presence to dwell, that voice of his will isn't going to manifest
at all.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. So there's a lot of individuals out there that say and believe that they are following their heart. They are following the conviction. But at the same time, they really never laid that house for his presence to dwell in, for that conviction to actually speak to them.
Yeah.
See, one of the things that kind of was revealed to me, and it's scary, is that, you know, that small voice is very similar, and he comes as an angel of light. That darkness comes as an angel of light and deceives many.
Absolutely.
And so I really truly believe, moving forward, God is revealing to us a greater understanding where we build that tabernacle in us, where his presence truly dwells, and we're not deceived by that still small voice that comes as an angel of light, but he quickens us to his true word.
You know, Pastor Jim, I'm glad you bring it up, that there's a difference between when you're quickened to follow that conviction. There's peace and joy that comes with that. It comes right after that conviction to move in that.
When you surrender to it.
Because when you're moving by what they call the angel of light, and it seems like it is, there's fear.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fear, there's a concern, there's also kind of like some uncertainty when you do it.
An anxiety.
Mm-hmm. That's when you know you're in the soul. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not following the word of God, because the word of God, there's a conviction that brings peace and joy with
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about this year coming up, because, of course, his love for us is so great that he's revealing this mystery. Even though we knew about a tabernacle inside and we need to prepare a place for him to dwell, and we have a taste of his presence. I mean, we all feel his presence, and we've experienced his presence, and we've seen very many miracle signs and wonders in the midst of his presence when we ministered around the world and here and everything else. I mean, it's just awesome when the presence of God is dwelling with us and moving with us and manifesting himself around us and all. But I believe that there's a greater presence that we haven't even tasted yet and don't even know yet, which this level of judgment that is coming requires this presence. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
So the you know, it's like going into the courtroom and you have a judge that is a little bit more lenient. So everyone's getting a free pass, so to say. But now a new judge came in. And now we have a new judge, and he's not really giving out that many passes.
There's more sentences.
There's more sentences. So we're looking at a tighter judge now.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be the age that we're coming into. And I truly believe it's because of how much darkness is being poured out.
Yeah.
And I blame it on that, really. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, because of this darkness, then I require more of me. I require more of me because there's more darkness being poured out.
So that means I'm requiring more trust in me.
Yeah.
You know, rather than you trusting yourself or trusting something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's requiring trust in him. Whereas before, he let religion slide for a long time. You know, he was long-suffering with that, and he finally said, no, I got to change it up because I'm not having a relationship with anyone. But he still graced them in at that point, but now that's stopped.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that part up, because if you look back in time, he set Moses up with blood sacrifices.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
He set him up. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to kill like 2 turtle doves, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. He set them up.
In the law.
In the law.
Yep.
And then through time, he changed it.
Yes.
And said, I don't no longer desire. I did back then. And those that died in that,
they're okay.
I'm giving them a pass.
Yes, correct.
But now I don't desire those sacrifices anymore. I desire this. So it was like a new gospel of now God dwells with man.
Yeah, it's the new covenant.
And he tore the veil.
Yep.
So the house that God was dwelling was probably like a tent. It was as long as they had a tent, I'm there.
Yeah.
You see, that religious temple was torn down, and they actually walked away from that, and they're saying, God, here's my tent. Now, through time, he probably required a small little rancher, you know? I think now
it's almost like the times.
Yeah.
Like they dwelled in tents.
Yeah.
Then they dwelled in prairies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And as time went by,
that's a good
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all right, there was tents at that time, mm-hmm. and now there's
wooden shacks,
yeah,
and then
now there's
brick and mortar.
Big homes.
Yeah, and big homes, yeah. Elaborate homes.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where we're at right now. I think God is saying it's time now that the single couple has a 4-bedroom home in your tabernacle. This is what I'm requiring now. This is what I want. This is what I'm requiring. And I thank God that he's revealing these things to us. Because what if we were just stuck with the tent? I look at it that when those people went to him in judgment, and he said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. They could have been just with a tent. But Lord, what are you talking about? We did all these things in your name, you know? And what's up? Well, I required a tent back then, but you didn't hear my prophets. They told you to show fruits of worthy of repentance, and I required a more of a tent. And you didn't give me more of a tent, so I didn't dwell with you. You weren't giving me what I was looking for. And so I wasn't dwelling with you. Even though you thought I was, you weren't listening to my prophets. You weren't listening to the word that was given. I truly believe God speaks to people like us to show his time. And we have to live according to God's time.
Because we're judged with that time.
And we're judged with that time. Mm-hmm. Or there would be no need for prophets. Jesus was a prophet. He came and told that the synagogue, the church back then, that God doesn't desire blood sacrifices anymore. He wants a tent. He just asking for a tent. I would have loved to live back then if he was only asking for a tent. But we live with him now, and he's asking for like a 4-bedroom mansion. And
with
it's like, yeah, with a basement and a garage, attached garage.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a little bit more difficult.
I like how you, with the darkness, and you just see if you just open up a newspaper or just walk down the street or you watch TV and you just see how nobody talks about God anymore, where it used to be in, it's just about self, which is the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe in what I'm believing, you're no good, or you're weak, or you're just an idiot, where there's no bringing or the reverence of the Creator. None whatsoever. And it's a sad, sad thing. Yep. I'm 50-some years old, and it doesn't seem that long ago that I grew up. And you mm-hmm. can attest to that. And you just see how strong and how deep the darkness has come upon just our area, because that's all we know is our area, and with the media and all that stuff. And not to look up to that, because that's where I believe the people fall short, because they're always striving for more. And all God requires is more of Him, and He'll supply your needs. He'll supply every desire that you have to fulfill in peace, love, and joy than it is with possessions. Because all that stuff will bring you, that garbage in the world, is hatred,
jealousy,
cancer, all things that are rotten people to the core. That's all that stuff does, and they don't understand that. They just think it's, cancer comes upon me. No, cancer doesn't come up. You let cancer come upon you in some instances, because we let these things rule our lives and our world. And it's so easy to fall short of God. But every morning when you wake up, you just got to say, Father, help me.
Mm-hmm.
Help me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. It's a tough world. We're all going through it. Mine's not as worse than anybody else's, because He always shows me somebody that's doing a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful and I'm grateful for that. But we have to wake up and just see what reality really is. Because out there is not reality. It's sick. It's disgusting in His eyes. If He's showing me in my eyes that it's disgusting, I don't understand. I can't fathom what it mm-hmm. is in His eyes. Because
mm-hmm.
this is His creation. He created mm-hmm. and gave us that second chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were bringing that back. It's like I always... when I'm discussing it with other people, there was a word that Jim spoke a long time ago, and he put it in a very simple way with pride, with the fall. People don't understand, because it was never written that way, but why were we taught about the fall? Well, in the fall, there was one thing that the fall had, and that was pride.
Yeah.
And every man, woman, and child in this world come in with pride.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So this is our... chance, our second chance,
mm-hmm.
is to get rid of that pride.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to point the finger at anybody else, but it's to humble yourself, saying, Father, You're showing me what's in me.
Mm-hmm.
Please help me remove it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have a better relationship with You, and I'm pleasing in Your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's all it is. It's not us, God being pleasing in our eyes. The heck with that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be pleasing in His eyes.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe the more He knocks on our door or called or chosen, mm-hmm. He gives us His eyes.
Amen.
And now we see through His eyes. And that's why we can see this evil or wickedness mm-hmm. or what have you. But when you don't have the eyes of God, when you... it's hard for them to see the evil and the wicked.
Mm. Yeah.
And a lot of them just think it's the times and fashion. And they call it fashion. They look at it as a new way of living.
Sure.
And this is what we do.
The changing of the times.
Yeah, yeah. We do this now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's because they can't see
beyond
the darkness.
Yeah.
And to them, it's not darkness, it's like light. And they're...
I'm just going with the times. It's where life is at, so I'm going to follow that.
I've, and the reason why I'm saying this is because I actually met some individuals. And I was sharing. I was like, well, don't you see the evil that is being poured out? And don't you see the darkness? And they're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And I started to share some of the, I said, well, what's your views on this? And it's fine. It's just the times. It's fashion. It's the way life is. We're evolving. And we're evolving into, and you need to be open-minded. And I was like, whoa. I'm not going to be able to allow.
There's a wall there,
I can't. They don't have the eyes to see the heavenlies.
Correct.
They don't have the eyes to see light and dark. They only see their light. Their light.
Yeah.
Their light is coming from the wickedness of the soul.
Yes.
Remember.
And they think it's good.
The soul believes they're good.
Yep. Exactly right.
And so they're looking through the eyes of the soul, which is light to them.
Yes.
And they're agreeing with it because they think that this is a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
When the reality of it is, it's not a good thing because they don't have the eyes to see or the ears to hear. This is why in 2018, God is moving upon my heart to bring out the supernatural and the powers and the principalities and how the world operates and how it's cunning to deceive even the elect. Because there are many who profess, proclaim, believe with even strong convictions that are deceived. You see? Even the elect. So you have to say to yourself, there's some power out there, and principality power, that is working the eyes of nature to be able to see one way or to see another way. And God is about done with the deception. Now, our part is just to be obedient to preach the word.
For the eyes that are open and the ears
and,
that are open.
And say it in our heart, you know, you might think we're speaking in parables. We're not speaking in parables to ourselves.
No.
We understand every word that we're saying to each other. But those out there
don't.
Well, this is like the sign of Jonah. Because at Jonah's time, God sent him to Nineveh to give them the word to repent, to change the way they're thinking, or he was going to destroy that city.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing now. God's using a voice. He needs somebody to get this word out that, hey, I'm not for this standard. My standard's holy. My standard's definitely different from the world. And I want you to come out of it and have a relationship with me and not accept everything as good through your soulish thinking.
Yep, because the soul, we're a spirit taking on any power that pulls us.
Right.
The power that's pulling us is the soul, yeah, which is wickedness. But we break away by humility, and that will bring us into the divine. But before that happens, the power is wickedness. And we see through those eyes. So if we're taking on the form of wickedness, we're seeing through the wicked eyes.
Yeah.
We're taking on the form of divine, so we see the evil. We see the divine. The divine is showing us the evil. The divine is showing us this darkness. But darkness isn't showing darkness. Darkness is showing its goodness,
right,
which is not good.
Correct.
It's deception, even to deceive the elect. And so these are listeners out there may hear us as if we're speaking some strange gospel or some strange parable or something, when we're not speaking any parable. And our prayer as the prophets or the spiritual leaders that are bringing, and I said this earlier at our dinner table, Lord, keep me from what I would call righteous indignation.
Right, where you're judging the...
Where we judge the world. I'm not a judge, and I can't judge the world. I just have to continue to work out my own salvation, bring this across, because I believe that our eyes are going to see even more. Mm-hmm. Right now, we don't see all the darkness that is there.
No, we don't.
We only see as much divine is allowing us to see.
God allowed us to see certain things.
Yeah. And as we come into more of Him, our eyes are going to be opened even more. So I believe He's preparing our hearts now so that we don't walk in that righteous indignation, but we walk in holiness. Humility. with a gratefulness in our heart. Thank God that He's saving our soul. Yeah. And at the same time, move with compassion and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Because we know now that only God can open up their eyes to see. And only God can open up their ears to hear. Right now, we could be sounding just like the prophet Jesus 2,000 years ago when he was speaking, the tabernacle is not made with hands, and it's dwelling with men. God is dwelling with men. And to them, that was a huge power. What is this? And talking about resurrection and someone saying, well, what do we got to do? Crawl back into the mother's womb? I mean, look at the eyes.
Yeah, they were confused.
Back then.
Yeah.
We know a little bit more about resurrection. We understand the resurrection. And maybe there's not many people out there that do understand about the resurrection. But
probably not.
But I feel that in 2018, we have to begin to bring in this tabernacle, and build this house that God is requiring for those that He's calling. I hope that He's calling everyone here, you see, and not just us.
Right.
I hope He's calling our children. I hope He's calling our wives. I hope He's calling everyone. I hope He's calling everybody in these seats, those that are listening, their families, their children. Because once wickedness gets a hold and the eyes don't change and they can't see the light, but they only see the dark light.
That's where...
There's a big problem there, because they're going to evolve in darkness.
Well, it's almost like where God says, I give them over to a debased mind.
Yeah.
You know, because the gripping of the darkness and the wickedness has such a grip on them that they probably aren't going to repent and come out of it.
No, he left. Know. He left the house.
Right, right.
You know, when God says, I give him over to a debased mind, I look at it as he left the house.
Yeah. He's no longer...
Because we don't have his eyes anymore.
Right.
So the only eyes that are being seen is the eyes through dark light, I call it now.
Soul dark light, yeah.
And that dark light only sees dark light, and they begin to embrace it, agree with it. They evolve in it. And then they start looking at you as you got an issue, you got a problem. And the reality is they're just embracing the dark light, and they're evolving, literally evolving, and believing that this is the way of life. And they conform to that life, when the reality is it's just wickedness pulling them down into the pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the soul and wickedness has one job: to grip your spirit and don't let it go. Grip it and pull you down into the pit.
It's like quicksand.
And that's its job.
Yeah.
To not let you have eternal life. Maybe there's a point in time where there may be another war, who knows, in that supernatural dimension where God's preparing his army. And darkness doesn't want that army prepared for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, because it does say he's preparing an army. So why is he preparing an army if it's not going to be a war?
Exactly right. Yeah. And you have these so-called scholars who are thinking they're the warriors on earth, you know?
It's a natural.
Yeah.
It's not a spiritual knowledge. It's a natural.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we ran out of time, and we got to end this discussion, and I wish we could keep on going.
This is a great subject. I mean, it's
2018. It's we got a great year ahead of us.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's going to get deep. He prepared us for it, and I'm willing to take the challenge, and I hope that our listeners are willing to take the challenge with us.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to take a sacrifice on ourselves. I don't think we really have to change the way we're living. I think we just have to go deeper into, I want to say, repentance.
Yeah.
So that we can bear fruits worthy of that repentance.
Yeah.
And uphold that conviction so that everything that we've done in ignorance is washed, cleansed, and we move fresh tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that, Pastor Jim. I know we're running out of time, but there's going to be such a strong peer pressure from the dark realm.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to try to influence everyone.
It's going to pull you.
To pull you into that.
It's pulling.
And that's where God is going to say, resist it, and it will flee.
Yeah.
You got to continue to resist it with all your heart, soul, and strength while you're trusting in Him.
Well, you know, that's a good point that you brought up, because I really, truly believe that we are reaching I don't want to say an end time, but a crucial point in history where darkness knows that it's at the last moment.
Yeah. Well, they know that the age, because they know the ages.
Yeah.
You know, and they know when that age is either starting or coming to an end.
Right. And if it's coming to an end, then they got to grip hold. And try to pull as many into the pit until that door closes and then a new one starts.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know the supernatural mystery quite of the transformation of whether it's life actually leaving the earth or there's a grace period on us or where that comes from. It hasn't been revealed quite yet, but I know that there's an urgency and darkness knows time is short for them.
Yeah.
And if we can really, truly bring the conviction that we have to our listeners and let them understand the importance of bringing into humility, like, I'm just hoping that someone out there would say, I truly want to know your God. I want to give my life over to the Creator. I want to have my house prepared for this judgment. I don't want to fall short of His glory. I want to make sure that I come into that eternal life. I don't want to be trapped into damnation, so to say. Yeah. And they begin to start following
this truth,
the structure.
Yeah.
And then instantly they're saved, basically.
Absolutely. I'm hoping there's a strong conviction that's going through those radio waves, through that internet, and it's convicting people's heart to say, you know what, I agree with this truth. I know for certain that I need to get right with God.
Mm-hmm.
And they repent, and they start following this.
Mm-hmm. You know there's certain little key tests that you can give yourself, whether or not the dark light has blinded you from the truth. If you don't feel any uncertainty and you don't feel uneased about how the world is, if you're content and you think everything's okay, then you're blinded by the dark light.
Absolutely.
Simple as that. If you're saying to yourself, you know, these are the times and the times are changing, but they're okay, and I can kind of agree with it, you're coming into the dark light. Yeah. And you're backsliding, so to say.
Yeah.
But if you say to yourself, no, this isn't right, God didn't create, you know, life like this, and it's taking a turn and it's getting a little bit out of hand, then I would say you have some light mm-hmm. in you, and embrace that light and cry out for more of that light to save your soul. And that's basically how I would leave tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And get this message out.